You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
I battle something in my life. What I battle in my life, I want to do wrong. In fact, I want to sin. It's very sad to hear from a pastor. In fact, Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, said, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I should do, I don't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. You see, when a person gets saved, you still have two natures within you. You have the old nature, the sin nature, the Adamic nature, and you have the new nature. My new nature in Christ, I want to do so right. I don't want to ever get upset with people. I don't want to sin. I don't want to destroy a testimony. I don't want to hurt my kids or grandkids. I don't want to ever hurt this church. And the spiritual side of me, Deborah, it's good to see you and your sister here tonight, today. I think she's your mother, but I'll see you afterwards. But my Christianity, my new nature wants to do right. And my old nature wants to do wrong. I'll prove this from the Bible. I want to speak to you about this subject today. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah chapter 17. You see, when you get saved, you're not perfect. In fact, some of those folks that are in jails, the men's jail and ladies' jails, I've been in all of them. Some of those people in those jails were saved before they did wrong. They trusted Christ before, and then they did wrong. And Brother Whitlow, we cannot look down on them because it's but for the grace of God. I mean, Abraham lied. He's the founder of the nation Israel. He lied. David committed adultery, the greatest king. He was a man after God's own heart, the Bible said. He was a stellar man. You think about Demas. Demas was at the revival at Colossae, and less than 2 years later, the Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You see, the problem is we put confidence in the flesh. We think, I've got this. I'll never do that. You know how many times in 50 years, almost pastoring this church, 49, someone said, if you would have told me I would have done this, I would have told you never. But I did it. When I go to the jail, say, Pastor, I went into jail over here a few years back, and I was in a big holding pattern waiting to see, and they were going to bring the prisoners in, and there was almost no men, hardly, almost all ladies, mothers and grandmothers, waiting. And they said, you're Pastor Treiber. And when one lady said that, it sort of perked up. We've transported 1.6 million riders to church on Sunday school buses. Amen. And I said, I am. She goes, will you please talk to my grandson when he comes in? He rode your buses. And he's a good kid. He did wrong. And someone said, you are the pastor over there. Said, you know, I don't remember how many, but I think there are maybe like 8 or 9 different groups that sit in the tables, and somehow they didn't know me personally, but they knew of this church and knew of it. And one by one, they said, will you go talk to my son? Will you talk to my grandson? And you know, in many of those cases, they said, I rode the bus, I got saved at North Valley Baptist Church. You see, we are capable of any sin. I'm capable of destroying this church. And when you begin to put confidence that I've got it under control, you are not in control. That's pride. I'll illustrate before we get to the scripture. And you've heard this if you've been in this church any length of time. A man went to a country where the Indian village was there. And as he went to the village, he was going up the river and one by one leading tribes to Christ. And as he led him to Christ, the chief got saved. And after a while, he had to leave and go up the river some more. And he said, but I'll be back. I'll come back down and I'll just keep going up and down the river to the villages. One day he came back to the village and he said, Chief, how goes it? And Chief said, not good. Big war inside. He said, it's like two dogs. One dog and this dog. And there's a battle all the time. And the missionary very wisely said, what dog wins? He said, the dog I feed the most. If I feed my flesh will win every time. That's why we live our lives by doing right, righteous. It is right to go to God's house. God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. See, I don't feel like it. When you don't feel like it, you come. Well, I got a headache. Well, do you go to work with the headache? And nowadays, probably not. But nonetheless, you go to God's house. You confess your sins. Let never the sun go down on your wrath. Say, I'm not talking to my wife today. I'm so ticked off at her. Well, that's a violation of the scripture. You cannot let the sun go down on your wrath. You have to be right with your family. You have to be right with people. And when you don't get things corrected before bedtime, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You are setting yourself up to commit any sin imaginable. Because when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. There's always consequences. My son was preaching here several years ago. He pastors in Arizona now. And Brother Tim said on a Sunday night preaching here, he said, you can choose your sin, but you cannot choose your consequence. The Bible says this in Jeremiah chapter 12 and chapter 17. Chapter 17, and I want you to read, if you would, with me, please, verses 5 through 10. 5 through 10, and let's pause at the commas and semicolons, periods as well. Ready? Verse 5, 17:5. Ready? Begin. Thus saith the Lord, curse it. See, we reap the fruit of our doings. Look at verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I want to talk to you and speak to you today, as I've spoken to myself on this subject. Deception destroys. The heart is deceitful. Deceit is such an awful sin. Deceit, simply by definition, is to cause others to believe that something's true that's not. Deceit is when we try to have our wife believe we're very godly and very a family man and a father, and that's what we try to deceive our wife, but really it's just the opposite. Right. Or a wife, just the opposite. Fastest growing group of pornography lovers right now are women. And in this room, I would say a vast majority of people have messed up with the internet on the pornography this week. What a tragic thing. And to think that we're living in a world of deception. I mean, politically, there's so much deception. Deception is a lie. There's so much lying going on. And we can find it very easily with political leaders. But how about in the house of God? How about Jack Treber in my life? How about your heart? Is it right with God? The heart is the real you. And God says the heart is deceitful. It easily to be a lie. We could portray one thing when reality it's another thing. And desperately, desperately wicked. Today it's been called the height of betrayal is deceit. I mentioned last week, and I guess his kids came out this week, of a great political leader. Apparently, I've never known the man, and a right-wing conservative and all these things. And he held Bible studies in Washington, D.C. At the house there. And apparently, he's been a very righteous, good man. But he's been living with another woman while he's there and living with his wife when he's back home. And he threw away a 30-year-old marriage and his church relationship and everything, because he felt like at his apartment in D.C. he could live another life. And lest you think I'm attacking that man, I'm telling you what, anybody's capable of that. I've watched better people than me do things that are so foolish like that. I'm thinking, good night, if someone like that can do that, how in the world can we? And I'll try to give you the formula today. Because the heart is deceitful. My old nature wants to do wrong. I remember distinctly lying to my mother before I got saved. But you know what? I had a battle lying after I got saved too. Just because I have my name written in heaven does not mean you are. I read a report. I don't know how. They must have told the truth on this report. I read a report not long ago. Said people say that 90% of them lie regularly each week to people that are closest to them. So they must have told the truth there. 90%. That lady that I called my wife for December to be 52 years, she deserves a husband that's going to be honest with her. She deserves someone. Yeah, years ago, my mother, she was alive, and she was here at the office working as one of the secretaries, and she got a call from, I could name the big hotel in this region, and a lady said, I need help. And my mother said, well, how can I help you? Because there's a whole band of us ladies, and we've been hired to work the hotels. You can fill in the blanks, you know what I'm talking about. And she said, we want out. But the man said, if we get out of this lifestyle, he'll kill us. She came to see my mother. And she said, there's a whole crowd. They're all in these hotels. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. If you don't put some guards up in your travel, when you travel to these places, you will get in trouble. Because we trust the flesh, but the flesh, the heart, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Amen. So many of you have been married a short time, a year or two or five or 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 perhaps. One day you're going to have to sit down with your mate and say, I want to tell you what happened. And that which brought you such joy, pleasure of sin, there's pleasure of sin, but it's for a season. And when you have to face that mate, and you have to face your kids and your grandkids, because the heart is deceitful. Well, I got this. I know what I believe. I'm just going to do right. Don't ever live your life so arrogant that you think it's all in control. I find that every day in my life, I get up very early. And I try to walk with God and pray and yield myself to God. But I find out throughout the day, sometimes I get frustrated, or I get upset, or I get this or that, or whatever it might be, or I get lazy or whatever. And I've got to throughout the day say, God, I was just wrong right there. Amen. And I want to confess that, because the heart is bent on doing wrong. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You think of deception. The Bible says clearly Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan. God gave them everything. It was beautiful, wonderful, perfect. But they wanted more. You see, your heart craves more. You have that great wife. Why are you looking for someone else? You have that great husband. Well, he's not that great. Well, I go to the office and I can talk to this woman. Well, why can't her husband talk to her? Well, I can talk to this man. He just understands. My husband, he doesn't understand anything. Well, that's what the same thing his wife's saying. You're going to have to be careful. There has to be boundaries that we put up. Adam and Eve were deceived, and they lived in a perfect environment. Samson was deceived. Perhaps the greatest judge. There's more written about Samson than any other judge, and he did so many good things. But Samson fell for a girl by the name of Delilah. And Delilah, the Bible says clearly, she deceived him. And when she deceived Samson, he destroyed his life. He was raised in a good family. Manoah, his daddy, was told how to rear. He said, how do I order the child? An angel of God came and said, here's how you order the child. Here's how you train the child. And they trained him that way. And they loved him. And mother knew loved that child. But he made some decisions, and he said, Mom and Dad, I don't want the girls here. I want a girl down there in that other territory and that other country. They know not God. They have their own gods, but I'll be okay. He was deceived. Ananias and Sapphira deceived themselves. They were deceived. They held back from God. Achan and Gehazi was deceived. And Demas, he thought the world was better than God. Today the Bible says, but evil men in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We are living in that moment. I mean, what news channel would tell you the truth? What news outlet would even say the truth? That's why I can't watch the news. It just discourages me, because what are they saying? They're a bunch of deceivers. Some folks call them fake news. It's probably a good title for them. They're deceivers. And in life, if we're not careful, we'll be deceivers. What deceives? Well, if you'll just let me quote it, I'll tell you what deceives: wine. Proverbs 20 verse 1 says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We think wine, liquor, hard liquor, drugs, I can control it. I think in December it'll be about 54 years I've been full-time at this thing, serving God as a preacher. Can I tell you something? You meet a lot of people in over a half a century. And this has been a large church for years. I have never in my life seen anybody given to liquor or drugs that say, I have more freedom. You know what we do? Say, I want to drink, because I want my freedom. But drink always enslaves. It doesn't offer freedom. I've literally watched men shake, women shake, and they begin to weep and cry. And they're out, sometimes out of their mind. I can't get control of this. I just stutter and stammer. I think of through the years how many people have come and said, here's my pot. Here's my drugs. I want you to get rid of them for me. And months later they come back and said, I'm back again. Here's my pot. Here's my drugs. We've got politicians that say, we need pot legalized in America. Well, I've never seen where pot brings freedom. It always brings enslavement. Always. And so we begin to talk about these freedoms that we have, but it's never free. When I was a boy growing up, and I don't know if we still have the word skid row in America, but cities had skid rows. where just men as drunks, predominantly men, but could be ladies, just lived on the streets. And every one of those cities had a large rescue mission. We hear of the Pacific Garden Rescue Mission. Been there probably 130, 140 years. And that's where Billy Sunday, the fastest man in baseball, played for the Chicago White Sox, got saved and became a great preacher of the gospel. And over 1 million people walked what they call the Sawdust Trail, trusting Christ as their Savior. But he was a drunk, and he had to turn his life over to God. And whenever he's preaching, if the guy would lick his lips like this, he said, that reminded me of liquor. And he'd get off the subject, start preaching, liquor! And he'd start yelling and screaming about how bad liquor is. I saw a bull. He said, I saw a fellow licking his lips. It reminded me of those days of liquor. It's a mocker. Strong drinks raging. So what do? You go home today and you pour it down the drain. You get rid of it. I want you to know today that wine is a deceiver. He that loveth wine shall not be made rich. That's why so many people are poor. So I can remember in 1959, we moved to Stockton, California. We were there for 2 years. My dad was in business downtown. And two streets over was what you called Skid Row. And I can recall those men in the afternoon just laying out there on the street, laying in the gutters. And they had a mission, and they'd go for a free meal and try to get a place to live, but in the daytime they had to get out. I'd see those men. I'd see them wander around. It's so very hopeless, because that is a substance that controls you. Be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God has to control me, or I'm going to give myself to anything. Not only does wine deceive, wealth deceives. My Bible says an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Turn with me in your Bibles. Keep your hands here, please. I'd like you to see 1 Timothy chapter number 6. We live in the Silicon Valley. People have come to California initially looking for gold, and it disappointed them. Then they came looking for Hollywood, and it disappointed them. Then they came looking for the computer field. Thank God for the hundreds in this room right here that have a computer job. But you be very careful with your computer job, because they generally will pay you very, very well. And if you're not careful, your life is going to spin for money. A life should never spin for money. It should not be hinged and founded upon money. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 6, 1 Timothy 6, 6. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. But godliness, for we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8, please. And having food and raiment, but here's the verse 9. But they that will be rich, if money is your goal in life, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and a foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some, having coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Keep your hand right there. I want you to see in closing another verse in just a moment. You see, wealth deceives. I just want to make some more money. I'm thankful for money and for what it can do and what it can accomplish. But the Bible says, labor not to be rich. Our foundation should not be things. It should not be possessions. It should not be the stock market. That stock market's going to disappoint you one of these days. My father and mother lived through the Great Depression, 1929. They can tell you they didn't have any money there, but how it affected this nation for 12 years. And the soup lines and the bread lines and the loss of jobs. I want to say, and you're going to have to fact check me, it just came to my mind. I think it was Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I want to say it was 80-some percent unemployment in 1929. Someone fact check that and let me know tonight. I'm not going to correct it, but it sounds good right now. I'm just saying there was a lot of unemployment. Money's not the answer in life. A man came to one of our pastors years ago. He said, I got saved here. I love the Lord here. My family's together. We're doing well. And he said, I'm going to just work a job for 1 year. And I have to work around the clock, but I have to work on Sundays. I can't come to church for a year. Well, that's a violation of the Word of God. And he said, here's what happened. A year later, my wife filed for divorce. That cost him some money. I'm suggesting today that wine enslaves, it deceives, and wealth deceives. And if I had time, I'm going to take you to Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Women can deceive. Because there are ladies that are loud and boisterous, the Bible says, and they dress with the attire of a harlot, and they deceive. And all of a sudden, as they deceive, they want to destroy your life. Ladies often get lonely. And in that loneliness, you can destroy your life and a man's life. Well, man shouldn't be so weak, but well, they are. Well, man ought to know better. Well, that's the way it works. There's a desire in the heart of a man for a wife, a woman, and yet if they're not careful, if that flesh gets fed, that he'll kick off and get rid of this woman for the next, and it compounds his problem. Women can deceive. Wealth can deceive. Wine can deceive. Wickedness deceives. The Bible says, for sin deceived me. Romans chapter 7. Brother Martinez, we sing that song 520. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, slowly and whole. Taking control. It just takes control. I cannot control sin. So I have to have a power within me that's stronger than me control it. That's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I had a preacher that I love so very much. In fact, today is his birthday. And I heard him preach so many decades ago. He said, a man, the Bible says not to look upon a woman, to lust after her. And he said, all of a sudden there's that woman there and you just see that. You're probably not responsible for that look, but you are for the second. You see money. It's there. But something's wrong when you make your life hinge from money. And sin, we often believe we can handle sin. I've discovered in life I cannot. Sin wants to control me. So what's the answer? You're there in 1 Timothy in chapter 6. The answer number one is, but thou, O man of God, he's talking about being erring from the faith and loving money and all that, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. You know, when sin wants to control, run the other way. That's why the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:2, flee youthful lust. Hey, you precious teenagers up here and down here throughout the house, you're going to be tempted to do wrong in, you name the area, morally, liquor, drugs, drink, another person, pornography. I'm talking about the fact that the average teenager is on his phone 7 hours and 22 minutes a day. That is not counting school. That is, he comes home from school and goes to his room and shuts his door, a mother and dad leave him alone, and he's in there, and 80% of teenagers are hooked on pornography. You say, well, I've got to have a computer. I've got to have my phone. Overwhelmingly, I forget the number, but it's way up almost 100%. Teenagers cannot go to bed at night without their cell phone with them. You talk about a security blanket, but it's a destruction blanket. You're not going to control it. I'd rather have a teenager not have a phone and have a life. And I thank God for all the things that can track our kids and all those things and whatever it is. I don't know all those devices. But one, if I'm going to have victory over this old flesh, my heart that's so defeated, I'm going to have to flee. I'm going to have to run away. Secondly, I need to place myself in a, I must not place myself in a position of danger. I can't place myself. That's why God's word, Proverbs 5 says, don't go by that lady's house. Don't even go. He says, avoid it. He says in Proverbs 1, if evil men entice thee to do wrong, the Bible's talking about, go not with them. You see, I have to put barriers up, not because I'm a good pastor or a good pastor or a good Christian. I'm not. I have to put barriers up because I'm weak. Everyone is. And when you begin to trust your flesh, I got this under control, you'll destroy. So this happened probably 30 years ago on Lafayette. You went there and there was used to be a big billboard there. And one day as I came across around the corner, that billboard, they'd keep them up for 30, 60 days. It had something very nasty, provocative looking. And I remember praying as I was driving, I said, Lord, I'm not going to come this way for the next 30, 60 days. Oh, what a good Christian. No. I didn't want to set my eye on that. Because I pledged to that lady, till death do us part, I was going to be a good man to her. That was my decision. That was her decision. How sad it would be to get to this age in my life and whatever it is. I don't have any idea how they touch the money around here. I don't have an idea. I don't know if someone put a gun to my head, get the money wherever it's at, wherever. I don't have any idea because I don't want to be around it. I've heard a preacher stealing from the church. I don't want to steal from the church. I don't want to steal from God. So the boundary is I've never touched the money. At the door, there's always a deacon with me. Someone says, here, would you put this in the offering plate for me? I say, give it to Deacon Reyes. Does that ever happen? Happens all the time. I'm not touching the money. Because I always need money. And so one, I'm going to flee lust. Secondly, I'm gonna set boundaries up in my life. Thirdly, I'm gonna set accountability up. I must tell you, and I don't have all the internet, I don't know all that stuff, but I have a cell phone. My wife knows my password. And it sort of bothers me when she picks it up to look on it where I've been. Because I save text messages. I have that. I don't have voicemail, but I have text messages. And things I'm still dealing with. And some of it I don't want her to know that this man's having financial problems or this has a private request. And I don't want it to be known yet I have cancer. And I don't want anybody to know that. I've got a heart procedure coming up. And I feel like those are things I want to keep to myself. And they're a prayer reminder. She can touch my phone anytime she wants. And I could touch her phone. And you know what? I find comfort when she does look. And she's not reading all the prayer requests and things that are given to me in private. But she has the right. And when a man says, hey, don't touch my phone, you got problems, honey. When a woman said, that's not your business. Why you treat me that way? I want to be supervised. And if you don't set some accountability up with your mate or your family or a preacher or someone in one of these Sunday school you're going to fall. Because the heart's deceitful. It deceives you. And I close. There has to come a point where number four, you say, I'm just going to become an honest person. You see, the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Lying is opposite of truth. And the closer I get to the truth, the more I want to do right before God. I told you last, let me give you one more. Replacement. Replacement, when you take something out of your life, put something better inside that's good and godly. Now here's the thing. That verse where we're at, the heart is deceitful. If you think I'm looking down on God's people, and it happens all the time. I was involved this week with a conversation. I quite frankly can't even remember who it was right now. And I knew what was going on, and they just looked at me and totally lied to me. I felt like stop and say, I know what happened. Oh no, 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 Pastor, no, no, oh no. The first line of defense is always to lie when someone gets caught doing wrong. Whether it's in a marriage or in a home or in a job or embezzlement or whatever it might, the first line of defense, Adam and Eve, they tried the lying. Everybody tries the lying because our heart's deceitful. They say, good night, what kind of a pastor we have here? Well, one who's tried to do right. And I work at trying to do right. And a wife that's done right. But I tell you what, it's a battle. Lester Roloff died at age 68 in a plane crash. He used to sing, once again, I faced Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. But in my weakness, God sent reinforcements. And at sundown, oh, I tell you what, I want you to know that I want to have victory in my life. I want to, in our offices, we have cameras everywhere. I want them. I said, install another one. Our doors all have glass walls and glass doors. I want that. In my ready rooms right under here, I leave the door open, talk to people. You know, how would my wife feel? How would I feel if my wife was counseling a man behind closed doors? I wouldn't like that, Dr. Nikolai. I wouldn't be comfortable with that. Well, she should not be comfortable with me behind closed doors. That's not being a good Christian. That's having some brains and being filled with the Spirit of God. But today, you'll never have that victory without Christ. It begins with salvation. You must be born again. Amen. You know, in our church, we always, in a moment, give an invitation. It's an invite. In a moment, I'll have prayer, and we'll stand, and the pianist to play, and people will come forward to unite with the church. The Wetlows are coming to unite with the church and come. Some folks have great needs they're praying about, the old-fashioned altar here, and others want to get saved, and a lady will show a lady how to be saved, and a man will show. Last week on Sunday, all these front rows were all filled with people, adults here, asking, how do I go to heaven one day? How can I get saved? If that's your need, get saved today.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.